Lights here.
Kyle, I think
Okay.
Dave is muted and can't share his screen.
Let's see. Well,
Technical
if you're a
difficulties.
co-host, are you co-host? Let me make you a co-host, Dave. You should be able to do it, but let me try it now, Dave. You should be a co-host.
Okay,
There you
yes, I
go.
think I'm here.
Excellent. So while Dave is bringing that up, I'll start and introduce myself. I'm Antoinette Quagliata. I'm the manager of sustainability services with Dewberry, and we have been working with Kyle and Megan Krog and River Cog to work on their priority climate action plan for the region. And so, as Kyle mentioned, we'll kind of walk through some of the background of what this is, how this all came about, and then walk you through what's in the plan if you haven't already looked at it, and then we can go over if and questions and if you want to share some feedback. Next slide. So a quick touch on the agenda. So as I mentioned, first we'll go over the program. The Priority Climate Action Plan is funded through an EPA program, the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program. And so we'll cover a little bit of that as well. We'll go over the plan, some of the major elements of the plan, which is to identify carbon reduction measures. We'll go over some of those, and then we'll have an open discussion. Next slide. So this plan covers the Capital Region COG and the River COG, as you see there in blue. There are other COGs, as well as the state, who are working on their own individual plans that you may have seen or heard of. But this conversation and the plan we're talking about covers the area there in blue that you see. Next slide. So the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program was a new program that EPA started last year. Created under the Inflation Reduction Act. And the point of this program is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by encouraging intergovernmental collaboration and providing funding for both planning and for implementing some of the measures. This program, knowing that addressing greenhouse gas emissions needs to be more of that regional, larger scale. So you'll see the focus of this grant has been to provide funding either to states or to larger metro regions. Next slide. It's separated into two different phases. The first phase is where EPA provided funding for planning to, as I mentioned, the states and the metropolitan service areas, so major areas, metro areas across the country. And there's three pieces to this planning funding that was received. Develop a priority climate action plan, which is what we'll talk about today. The next step will be to do a comprehensive climate action plan. And then lastly, a status report. In combination, the three different deliverables span a number of years, the Priority Climate Action Plan being more of the shorter initial deliverable. And then once this is released and submitted to EPA, which is due March 1st, we'll move on to the comprehensive plan. In a second phase, which we won't get into too much, is the implementation phase, which there is a competitive grant program open now through EPA, where those who are putting together a priority climate action plan can submit for funding to put one of the measures they identify into practice. And we'll cover those measures later on in the presentation. So, next slide. So, a quick overview of the Priority Climate Action Plan, or PCAP. You'll hear us th say that a lot, but basically, this is this first stage of the planning process, this first plan. The way the plan is structured is we started with a greenhouse gas inventory that the COGs in Connecticut have partnered with UMass Amherst to conduct an inventory for the state and to provide information based on the COG regions. This helps to set the stage for what are the major sources of emissions in our region, so that as we went through identifying measures to reduce greenhouse gases, we knew where to focus our efforts and focus our information. Second part of this process is to look at benefits to low-income and disadvantaged communities. One of the focus of the EPA program was to tie in that benefits with the actions here, looking at not only the benefits to reducing emissions, but any co-benefits that could come out of those emissions. Second, we partnered with agencies to gather information on what they've been doing, what measures are important to agencies, municipalities, in identifying what to put into the PCAP. And that connects to this larger stakeholder outreach, which you may have heard of some of the earlier meetings that we had in the December, January timeframe to gather feedback on what's important to the communities around the region. And all of that was put together into the plan that we'll go through today. And then I'll pass it on to Dave to get into some of the details on the greenhouse gas inventory that was conducted.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dave Nowak. I'm a part of Dewberry as the greenhouse gas lead on this project. So let's talk about greenhouse gas emissions. This comes from the inventory that was conducted by UMass Amherst. So for the Crog and River Cog region, which is essentially the Hartford, East Hartford, Middletown, called the Metropolitan Statistical Area, but basically that entire urban area and surroundings, the net emissions that come from this area are over 8.5 million metric tons. So in an attempt to put that into context, that's about 2 million gasoline-powered vehicles driven for 1 year, or if you'd like to travel in your own vehicle, you could drive to the moon and back 45,000 times. So it's pretty significant. And within this, you know, to talk about the breakdown, transportation is by far the largest source of emissions, accounting for nearly half of all those emissions. The second largest source, that's about a quarter of the emissions, comes from the residential sector, which is kind of mixed between stationary combustion that you might see, for example, if you use natural gas, or primarily fuel oil is a big source to heat your home. And then part of that comes from electricity consumption. But overall, the residential sector and their emissions, and I think this is really interesting, you notice there's kind of a negative portion to this graph, which is carbon uptake, or essentially negative emissions from essentially forests. As trees grow, they uptake carbon. That amount that you see in the green below the zero point in the graph, that's about equivalent to all the emissions from the residential sector in Connecticut. So this gives us a really good baseline about where emissions are coming from, and maybe kind of gives us a ballpark about what areas to cover that we should focus on for the PCAP and the climate pollution reduction grants. So why were certain measures included in the preliminary climate action plan? You know, first off, does it reduce greenhouse gas emissions? Remember, these are carbon pollution reduction grants. So that's the main focus, is how does it reduce emissions? Second is it within the purview of a municipality, or a COG in this case, or potential partnerships that a municipality or a COG can make? Is this something, are these measures or something that we can actually do? Does it have demonstrable impacts to LIDACs? And LIDACs, are low impact or disadvantaged communities. That's an official definition from the EPA. And what that means are communities that are low income, in that, you know, they may have a certain level of poverty within that area, or they may be disadvantaged in terms of being burdened in some way, like perhaps they're exposed to more air pollution or some other detrimental environmental or social impact. Another point is it supported by municipal leaders and staff? It's one thing if a COG or municipality has authority to do it, but there also needs to be buy-in. Is there interest from the community in taking part of these efforts? And this is really important to the way the program is structured. Is it implementation ready in the short term? The way the program is focused is these are things that need to be done immediately because it's critically important to reduce emissions now. And short term is defined as 2025 to 2030. Now, we look at the long term as well, but are these things that we can take action on now? And again, the measures that are included in this preliminary climate action plan that we have completed, this is only the start. We've collected a lot of ideas, nearly 80 potential measures that we counted. Some of them may not be the best fit for the PCAP. Maybe they need some more thought or more planning. Maybe they're more long-term in scope. Maybe they don't meet necessarily at this time some of these criteria. But that doesn't mean they're not discounted. I mean, you may have some ideas of your own. But those can be included in the later comprehensive climate action plan, and those can be further refined. So how these measures were collected, there is a lot of intergovernmental coordination between the COGs and other parties. We ran through a lot of workshops and sector-based meetings to further refine these ideas, again, to get, you know, is there buy-in from the municipalities, for example. LIDAC engagement is really important. You know, is there buy-in from these communities that we're trying to target? And also municipal and residential service, just to kind of gather the entire interest for these measures. And to dive in a bit more to this, we've had a lot of engagement with municipalities and state agencies beginning since November. We've had several meetings that have been hosted by both CROG and RiverCOG, including drop-in sessions. We've met with the Connecticut Council of Municipalities, the Climate Technical Advisory Committee, to get sort of advice on how feasible or implementable these ideas are, the Connecticut Equity and Environmental Justice Advisory Council, to again touch on the LIDACs. We'll go into that a bit more. And throughout all this process, we've also ran a municipal survey to again gauge the interest from municipalities and staff of, you know, what's the appetite for these measures. You know, we don't just want to come top down and say, hey, these are things we're going to do. It's like, no, is there bottom up interest from that, from the communities and the municipalities that these will be affecting? And for the LIDACs as well, CROG and RiverCOG engaged an equity coach to reach out to these LIDAC communities that, you know, may not have the same opportunity to voice their opinions, to really reach out and talk to them to get their input. So they've ran a variety of meetings, both in person and virtual, all public, you know, to really get their impact, or sorry, to really get their input on what impact these measures may have on these communities that we're trying to target. So to take a look at how we evaluated each of the measures, and we'll get into the measures that we have targeted. So here's an example of one, is to install solar panels on homes owned by municipal housing authorities. So here's kind of the framework that we went through in order to evaluate each measure. First is a summary and a description. Exactly what are we talking about? You know, there are a certain number of housing authorities. Here's where they're located. Here's what we're trying to do. Install solar panels on homes owned by these housing authorities. Second are measurable progress metrics, you know. This isn't just something like, hey, we're going to do this. You know, it's like, how do we measure progress? How do we know we're making an impact? And in this case, it may be the capacity of solar that we're installing on properties, or the percent of housing structures or properties that we're targeting. Third is, again, you know, most important, the greenhouse gas emissions reductions. And here we kind of did an exercise of, okay, so in this example, if we target this many homes or do, you know, this much capacity of solar, here's the emissions reductions that we're going to have. And this will be further refined as we go towards the implementation phase, which we'll touch on. And further evaluations are co-benefits. For example, putting solar on housing may reduce electricity costs for residents. It also improves air quality because you're using renewable energy without emissions or any other pollutants, rather than having power come from, you know, your typical utility power plant. And I really love the co-benefits. I think they're really interesting and a really important part of this project. And then we also look at impacts on the LIDAX. You know, we talk about reducing energy costs. I need to grab some water. That really means a lot more for a low-income community. We also look at key implementing agencies and partnerships. Like, this isn't just CROG and the River Cogs, you know. They also need to partner with the housing authorities themselves. You know, what is their interest in the project? Partnering with municipal governments, also solar companies. You know, who is everybody that needs to be involved to make this a success? Related to that is the authority to implement. You know, this is a program. This isn't something that's just, okay, legislation. Here's a law. Everybody needs to do this. This is a more collaborative effort. And finally, we came up with an implementation schedule. Because again, this is a focus on making an impact now in the short term over essentially the next 5 years.
Hi, everyone. My name is Renata Silberblatt, and I'm with a senior planner with Dewberry. So here's the slide you've all been waiting for. Just kidding. Perhaps you're waiting for. This is all the priority measures we list out in the draft PCAP. So as you can see, there are 12 priority measures covering 5 of the 6 sectors identified by the EPA, and the one sector where no measures were identified is industrial, which reflects the region and the focus of this region. So these measures were felt to have the biggest potential impact to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the short term for the region. I feel like you all are hearing kind of us say similar things, you know, potential to reduce greenhouse gas emissions short term. So these are obviously definitely focuses for the EPA and for this planning document. And these measures build upon the greenhouse gas inventory that was done. So you can see that, you know, as Dave was talking about, the transportation sector comprising most of the region's greenhouse gas emissions. So the majority of these measures are transportation related. And the measures, of course, build upon the work already being undertaken by municipalities, as well as measures that the public has expressed interest in. And in the next slides, I'll drill down a little more on these measures. So next slide, please. Okay. Great. So on electricity generation, the PCAP, the draft PCAP talks about installing solar on homes owned by housing authorities and installing solar or battery storage or microgrids on municipal buildings, properties, and schools. Next slide, please. Okay. In the transportation sector, we have six measures. The first three, converting municipal fleets to electric vehicles, installing chargers for the municipal fleets, and switching municipal gas-powered equipment to electric, such as, switching like leaf blowers to gas-powered leaf blowers to electric leaf blowers. The second transportation measure, installing public EV charging infrastructure. And then the third, converting school buses first to 20% biodiesel, and then also in the short term, but a little bit later on, we felt that was a sort of realistic, converting school buses to a hybrid electric. So next slide, please. Great. And so let's see. So the next three transportation measures we talk about are pursuing improvements for at least one of the six transit corridors highlighted in the Metro Hartford Rapid Routes Transit Priority Corridor Study. Then implementing roundabout projects at already identified locations. And so roundabout projects would assist, obviously in traffic flow, which helps cut down on air pollution, as well as encourages drivers to use lower speeds, so making the roads safer for drivers and bicyclists and pedestrians. And then lastly, undertaking complete street projects across the region. So again, making streets safer, encouraging biking and walking and a mode shift, and in that way, cutting down on greenhouse gas emissions. Next slide, please. So in the agriculture working land sector, we identified one measure, and this was identifying the urban tree canopy in municipalities across the region. Next slide. Okay. And waste and materials management, we also have one measure. It is to establish and expand residential and academic food waste diversion programs and examine ways to increase the use of anaerobic digestion if compost isn't possible. Next slide. Okay, and then finally, in commercial and residential buildings, we have two measures, energy audits for commercial and residential buildings. And we included in this measure also providing financial support for the implementation of audit findings, recognizing that there are a lot of great audit programs in the state, but perhaps one barrier to getting an audit is not having money to do the improvements. So we saw that as an opportunity. And then finally, energy efficiency upgrades to municipal buildings. And those are the 12 measures. And with that, I will turn it back to Antoinette to discuss the PCAP availability and feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Renata. So that was a brief overview of all of the measures that we've identified and included in the plan. If you haven't already done so, please go to the website here on the slide, and I think we can put it in the chat as well. You can look through the PCAP as Dave walked through. For each of the measures identified, we go through the full analysis of potential benefits, potential greenhouse gas reduction measures, what would it take to implement it, so you could see the full range of what's included in these potential measures. There's a link also as well if you'd like to submit comments. We are accepting comments through February 23rd. So please feel free also to use that link. The link is also on the website, so you can access that as well for submitting comments. Read through it. If you have anything to share, please let us know. And I'll just to reiterate, and I think we get onto the next slide, to kind of the next steps. We will be submitting this plan to EPA. The due date is March 1st. Once we submit the final PCAP, we will be working on an implementation grant for the region, which is what we're discussing. As I mentioned, EPA has funding out now to provide those who are doing a plan to identify one measure that they've mentioned in the plan that they want to seek funding for. Because as we know, there's a lot of ideas and potential measures that we've talked about, but they all require some type of funding to put it into action. And so that will be the next step. And then from there is the comprehensive climate action plan. So this PCAP was just sort of this first phase. The planning process will continue after this, where we will look into more depth the measures we've identified, potentially look at some other measures that were a little bit further out, talk them through, refine them. We'll bring in the stakeholders again to talk through, so we can start putting more details into the plan and talking more about how to put these measures into practice. So next slide. Okay, so what we want to bring up the measures again here. Here's the full list that's included in the plan. What we'd like to do now is kind of shift it over to you. We've been doing the talking, now give you guys a chance to speak and voice. Feel free to put comments in the chat if you want to share with the group. You can raise your hand and we will call on you if you would like to share it. And just in general, if you have questions for us, we're happy to address those as well. So I'll pass it on, and I will let Kyle will run the show and call on folks.
Great. Yeah. Thanks, Antoinette. Yeah. Sure. So we got through this about a half hour. We can devote the rest of the time to questions from people in attendance. These are the measures we have. It's just a draft, so we can refine what we have. We can add some wrinkles to what we have. Maybe you have some ideas that we haven't maybe considered. Maybe we should prioritize one thing over another. So really now is your time to chime in. Let us know what you think, what you see, maybe if we missed anything. So please feel free. I can allow you to unmute yourselves. So feel free to just jump in at any point if you would like to. Raise your hand. Drop in the chat, just unmute or start talking. Question in the chat from Dave Sousa. Have you calculated the benefit cost of suggested measures, including the direct benefits and indirect?
That's a great question. So where we are for this priority climate action plan is estimating potential greenhouse gas reduction benefits. When we get into the comprehensive plan, we will look into the analysis a little bit more into detail of what we expect the potential benefits to be. What you'll see as you go through the plan is identified potential co-benefits, potential benefits, a little bit more of it at a higher level. But as we move into further planning, we will look into some of this a little bit more. We'll also, for the when we decide a measure that will apply for implementation funds, we will definitely look into that more. And there's some requirements to do some more calculation of benefits in that piece.
Let's see, a question from Rosalyn Reeps. Why was unit-based pricing coupled with organics diversion not included under the materials management solution? I could take one stab at that, and then Antoinette, maybe you can add some more detail. It was considered, and it definitely will be considered for the comprehensive plan, but in terms of priority, near term, Based on discussions we've had with recycling coordinators elsewhere throughout the state, they felt like unit-based pricing was something that needed a more extensive rollout and education piece just to get people comfortable with it, or they tend to rebel against it. So in order to be successful, the advice we heard from people working in the sector was that you need a more of a rollout phase. And we felt that was better suited towards the comprehensive phase where we have more time to kind of roll it out and think about it more. Antoinette, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I think that covers it. And I think that, you know, that explanation is kind of true for a lot of these. If you think about something that maybe wasn't included, the thought processes there was, is it something that requires quite a bit of effort to get underway? Does it require any kind of special approvals, special programs where it's more of a longer term possibility? And those are the type of items and aspects of the different sectors here that will be considered in the comprehensive plan.
Okay, and I have a question from Susan Olson. What does anaerobic digestion create, and how would that be counted as greenhouse gas reduction?
So the digestion converts compost waste into energy. And that's basically so that you're not taking, using traditional sources, burning coal, you know, gas. So it's shifting that one piece to a source of energy. Now, what we're also looking at here on the waste stream is that reduction in the transport of waste, which is one of the reasons why this elevated into the plan, is that understanding the collection of waste going to landfills where Connecticut has to transport is very far, it's long distance. So if we can minimize how far we have to transport the waste, that's quite a significant reduction, especially on the transportation side.
I think I'd also add, and maybe Dave, you can chime in on the numbers, but taking waste out of it, the less you put in landfills that's rotting and emitting methane, that also would count against greenhouse gas reductions as well. So let's see here.
Yeah, it would. That's true. So waste is really interesting for Connecticut as far as emissions go, because there are no active general waste landfills within Connecticut. So any waste that comes out or is produced, it all gets transported to neighboring states, sometimes hundreds of miles away to Pennsylvania or even further. So a lot of the emissions that you see within Connecticut's inventory come from the transportation, just the trucks, you know, the collection trucks, and then the transportation and processing trucks that take that out of the region. And those emissions are also, you know, in other states as well, you know, but there are still emissions that ultimately come from Connecticut, so to speak. But, you know, those emissions that would be reduced, you know, they come from the region as a whole. And those are there. They, for a variety of accounting reasons, they may not be included in the inventory numbers that I presented earlier, but those are real reductions, and that's important. And that's exactly what this program is targeted to. And that's exactly what they will evaluate if we submit such a measure for an implementation grant.
Thanks, Dave. So Antoinette, I partially answered this question in the chat. Thank you for the response on benefits costs. Will the calculation of benefit costs include health benefits? I answered, for an example, reduction in diesel particulates would improve air quality is one small example. I don't know if Antoinette, you might want to elaborate on potential health benefits.
Yeah, so we will look into the potential co-benefits, and we'll It's a combination of quantitative and qualitative. I think that will depend on the measure itself, the potential benefit that we're looking at, and if we have are able to have access data where we can get to a number. But it will be a combination of those two. But Kyle is right. You know, benefits like reduced particulate matter, benefits to air quality, you know, as much as we can quantify benefits, we will.
Let's
and I think
see.
There was a question up above that.
Let's see. There's a note from Carolyn Field. No mention of regenerative farming and ranching. Is promoting those practices outside the scopes of the COGS? No, it's not. We can promote it. Megan, I don't know if I want to throw you on the spot there, but you have more rural communities in River Cog. Any thoughts on farming, ranching, in terms of the COG's role in promoting those practices?
I mean, we do have the Regional Agriculture Council, and I wish Janice were here because she could speak more eloquently to this point. Yes, we can promote those practices. I don't know that that equates to a measure that we would put in the PCAP for implementation grant funding. I would toss it back to Dewberry on that point, though.
Yeah, I think this would be, you know, something to look into maybe for the comprehensive plan. You know, is there a significant amount within the region? Is there, what is the potential for implementing a measure related to this within the region? Again, a lot of the focus is what are the benefits to the LIDAC or the low income and disadvantaged communities. Now, the measures are not just on those communities, but the focus is to look at prioritized impacts to those communities and what are some of the co-benefits. So all of those things can be factored in, and we can certainly consider and add this as we talk through for the comprehensive plan.
Great. Let's see. Kate Montgomery. Kate, you can either unmute yourself. I can read your question if you want. Let's see. I can give it a shot if you don't want to unmute. But Kate's asking, have we looked into supporting local sustainable agricultural food systems for reducing emissions? You could combine it with a composting collection program. Ithaca, New York has a free food scrap drop-off for farmers markets, a potential starting point for composting.
Yes, yeah, so I'd say a big part of the waste measure covers composting. And if you look into the plan, it talks about whether it's, depending on the municipality, it could be, you know, doing curbside pickup at individual homes, establishing drop-off areas for compost collection. So that has been talked about in on the waste side. As far as supporting local agriculture, that was discussed. That didn't get into the PCAP, but it's definitely something to look forward to as far as, you know, encouraging supporting local agriculture, because again, you're cutting into that transport piece of transporting food to where you are. So it is in there, and it's a good comment. And anything that's not in this PCAP related to compost that you see already is already kind of, I think, on our list. We've had a number of conversations about that we'll look into for the CCAP.
Okay, question from Susan Olson. Would energy efficiency upgrades and solar include houses of worship? Yeah, I mean, any buildings, if you are burning fossil fuels and you want to convert to renewable, yeah, any building, including churches and places of worship. Yep.
Yeah, and I would just add, if you're referring to the specific measure here on the solar on housing authority properties, So there's two reasons that we focus on that. The public housing is one, the benefit to the LIDACs, but two, there are some limits within the state as far as how much solar you can generate in certain areas. And the limitations are not there on public and affordable housing. So that's why this measure focuses on that piece as well. But looking into other ways to support solar beyond that in municipal buildings is also something that we can add in for the comprehensive plan.
Question from Don in the chat. I see mention of flooding on the website. Was there any discussion about the flooding in Hartford and other river adjacent locations and ways to mitigate this? So maybe Antoinette, maybe you can explain the nuances between mitigation and adaptation and whatnot. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question here. You know, on the resilient side, and how do we deal with and respond to extreme weather, but how do we adapt to prevent the impacts? What the focus of this program here from EPA is focused on carbon emissions. So it's that source of impacting the climate, impacting emissions. So the resilience and responding to extreme weather is not a focus of this grant program.
There, it definitely is a topic that comes up. There's other sources of funding that CROG is looking into for resiliency grants, but just under this specific bureaucratic grant criteria, not a part of this particular program. Kate has a question. I will read it. Let's see. A moratorium on widening roadways, unless there's proven emissions reduction, could be a key. Sometimes projects that started years ago are no longer relevant and need to be reconsidered. These funds could be redirected to improving transit. Prioritizing roundabouts is good. Any thoughts from Dewberry?
Yeah, it's a good comment. And I'd say on the transportation side, right, we have the roundabouts. There are some, one of the measures looks at the transit priority corridor improvement projects. So that's one particular focus. Beyond that, the thought is to look into other transit related projects or measures in the comprehensive plan, because there are, as you noted, there's a sort of a longer time frame for planning out transit projects, coordinating with the municipalities and Connecticut DOT. So we saw that didn't fall into that short-term implementation ready. It's more of a long-term. And it's definitely something to coordinate with Connecticut. Connecticut DOT has been working on separate strategies for reducing carbon. And we have worked with them, but we will certainly coordinate with them more in the future.
And just, I could broadly as you know, transportation is something CROG does a lot. Full agreement with your comment. It's definitely a priority, not only for this project, but all our other transportation related projects. So I appreciate that comment. Anyone else? Thoughts, comments, questions, concerns? Do we miss a sector or a project that we should know about that we might consider including?
And just a reminder, this isn't your only chance to provide feedback. If you'd like to look through the plan more and submit later on, you have until the 23rd to submit comments as well. And there will be more engagement. You know, this was just the first part. When we start, move on to the comprehensive plan, please definitely keep an eye out for more chances to provide your feedback and engagement, as that will span a longer process and there will be more opportunities to share your thoughts.
Let's see, two messages. That's one's from Megan answering a question. Rachel has a question from Manchester. Have municipal water and wastewater facilities been considered for efficiency upgrades? I think that would count under the first measure, right, Antoinette? Electricity generation? Municipal facilities?
Yeah, I think we were thinking there on more on buildings, solar on buildings. But as far as the retrofitting, if you look at the commercial, that last one, the commercial residential buildings for energy upgrades, that's where that could fit into. We did not include that at this point. Again, being more of a further out potential that we can consider, but we can definitely add it for consideration in the comprehensive plan.
Right.
I'm assuming you mean like the building systems is how I interpret it, like the HVAC and internal systems.
It's a good question. Yeah, I've heard wastewater facility, yes, and pump stations. Yeah, I just got to ask about pump stations. Thanks, Rachel. Let's see. Susan Olson, how do we learn of plans being developed in neighboring regions? So there's CPRG CT, Megan, if I'm wrong on this address, correct me. CPRGCT.org or .com. Double check my memory there. But it's a central clearinghouse for all the other plans in Connecticut. So there's a New Haven plan for the New Haven region. There's a Bridgeport plan for the Greater Bridgeport region. And then there's obviously our plan. So there's three regional plans. And then Connecticut DEEP has their priority climate action plan posted on the DEEP website, and that covers the entire state. So a little bit of Googling, and I can drop in the chat in a second here. We'll take you right to those plans, and you can check them out. I believe they're all available for comment.
Already in the chat.
Great. Thank
Thanks.
you. All right. Well, we can get you your guys' evening back. So I would just say if you are in the Rivercog region, you can contact any of us, but you can certainly contact Megan if you're a member of the Rivercog municipality communities. If you're in the Greater Hartford region, you can certainly reach out to me with comments, questions, concerns, or we can fold them into the draft. We're taking comments until February 23rd. And then we are currently working on an implementation grant. So we're going to decide on direction very shortly, and we're going to take a shot at getting some money for the region to implement some of these measures. So that is the next steps for us. And if anyone does not have any other questions, we could wrap it up for the night. Thank you, Carolyn.
And thank you for joining us this evening. These plans are only as good as what we can gather together, but especially from the feedback we get from anyone involved. So thank you for participating.
Great. Thanks for attending, everyone, and we will see you online someplace else, I'm sure. Take care and have a good evening. Thank you.